If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 1. We'll be looking at the next verses. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 10 and where we'll be at. So, I'm entitled this message, Faithfulness to God. You know, everything about God is amazing. His being, His power, His knowledge, His holiness, His love, His mercy, His grace. And the list goes on and on. Yet, one amazing fact about God that I reflected on this week as I was preparing for this message was God's faithfulness to His children. I'll read a few verses. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenants and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. Psalm 91:4. My wife, one of her favorite verses. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. One of my favorites, Deuteronomy 31:6, and it's also, I think, quoted in Joshua and also by Paul later in one of the letters. Be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doeth go with thee. He shall never fail thee nor forsake thee. Man, I love that verse. And that's great news. Now here comes the bad news. Now in for the bad news. You know, they say if you had to have confrontation, they say that you need a sandwich bad news between good news. Give good news, like, you know, I'm thankful that you're here. Now here's the bad news. And then say something good at the end. But here's the bad news. We are not as faithful to God as God is to us. Let me read a few verses of what man has done over the years. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have something what against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Hebrews 2:11. Therefore, we ought to give more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What we've done, we've let them slip. We've drifted. Ezekiel 15:8. Does our make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully? One of the problems with America now is that we've been unfaithful. Israel has been unfaithful. These verses I just read are about the nation of Israel and different churches that struggle with faithfulness to God. Unfaithfulness to God is a problem, not just a problem in past churches, but a problem that churches face today, individuals face today. You probably have struggled to be faithful to God. You probably right now can think of a time, or even now, have drifted from God. God has probably, if you're honest, has not been your first love. Even this week, He may have not been your first love. By the way, God wants faithfulness. He wants loyalty. He wants to be the only one. God is a jealous God. Exodus 34:14 says, For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous. He is a jealous God. God commands us to be faithful. And also this, in the verses I read a minute ago, He rewards faithfulness. He don't cover you with your feathers. He don't really have feathers, by the way, just so you know. God's a spirit. But he don't cover you with your feathers. He's not a shield to you. He said to the one who obey and the one who trusts and keeps his commandments. See, everybody wants God to be their protector. But there's what I said, every promise has a condition, and the condition is obedience. But back to what I'm saying, though, is that God commands faithfulness, and he also rewards it. To me, that's two good reasons to be faithful to God. So this morning, if you're like me, I struggle with that sometimes. I want to look and learn how to be faithful to God. And that's the theme today, is how to be faithful to God. Now here's the context, it's really simple. The believers at this church in Galatians are being pulled away from the truth by Judaizers to the point that Paul has to intervene with a letter. So let's look here. As we look at these verses, verses 6 through 10, let's look at three things that we can do to ensure that we are faithful to God. Let's look here at verse 6 and 7. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you, and that's the Judaizers, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And what they were doing in the context, and they were saying you got to live by the law. You got to live by the Old Testament law, just like you did before God or Jesus died on the cross. That's what he's talking about. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you for the next few minutes, dear God, that we'll put aside everything in our mind. Lord, I know there's things that you know, they live life this week, and they've got things to do tomorrow, but Lord, I ask you as we gather together, Lord, to fellowship, but also to learn your word, that we'll do that today, to apply what we've learned to our lives, dear God. If somebody here who's been unfaithful to you, I want to ask you to place your finger on their heart. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, and I ask you, Lord, also to convict them as well and help them to come to a saving knowledge. Help, Lord, all of us today, Lord, as we look at your word, and when you speak to us, that we'll repent of what we need to repent of in Christ's name. Amen. To be faithful to God, first thing, you need to realize your inclination to depart or to stray from God. You need to realize, the first thing, you realize your inclination to stray from God. We see the first thing, letter A here, is Paul's astonishment. Let's read verse 6 again. He said this, I marvel that you are so soon removed. The word marvel there means to be a surprise. It means to be astonished. Paul was shocked. And actually, if you study the word, it's a painful shock. You know when you're shocked and you're happy? You know when you're shocked and you're sad? That's what it is. Paul's shocked, but not in a good way. And so what is he shocked about? Why is he shocked? Because of the quick departure from the truth. Look again at verse 6. He said, I'm shocked. I marvel. Here's the next thing. That you are so soon removed. Obviously, so soon is really easy. It means to be quick, in haste. The word removed there means to abandon. So he's shocked that they abandoned something. Now, what have they abandoned? And it says, the next thing it says, who have called you into the grace of Christ. Now, I will say this as we talk about this. There is a debate about who he's talking about. Is he talking about Paul? And he talked about God, who called him to the grace of God. Here's the thing. It doesn't really matter. Because here's what it really is a statement to. It's a statement that they are departing from God's truth. And then it says this, unto another gospel. So he's shocked. He's astonished that so quickly they know the truth. They believe the truth. And now they have departed from it. And not only that, now they're starting to follow after something else. Paul's astonished. He's shocked. I want you to understand that this tells us something. There is an inclination to stray from God. There is an inclination, there is a desire in all of us to do what is right in our own eyes, which is what we're living in America. Most, I mean, even Christians, even you talk to people, I said this last week, you talk to people, like, well, I'm good with God. Me and God got our own thing worked out. You know what that is? What you're saying is, I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. And it doesn't matter what's right in your own eyes. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you're raised. I'm getting ahead of my notes. It matters what the Word of God says. And what the Word of God says you have to do to be saved. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm shocked. I cannot believe that you have departed from God. But here's why. Because we all have an inclination. We have a desire to do what we want to do and not what God wants to do. I mean, it can be sometimes it's just, have you ever knew the right thing to do, but then decided not to do it, and justified it, and felt like you were right? You know what that is? That was you departing from the truth. That was you saying, I'm not going to do what I know the Bible tells me to, I'm going to do what I want to do. We have that inclination in us. And by the way, the Galatian believers were not the only ones to depart. Think about David. There was something, David, a man of God's own heart. There was a time, a point in his life when he decided, hey, adultery will be okay. There was a time when David said, you know, murdering Uriah, that'll be okay. And I don't know how he justified it in his mind, but you know he did. He was different, which is that how we all are. Have you ever noticed that we're all the exception? We're always the exception. Like, well, they can't do that, but I can. Well, when someone else does, oh no, it's so wrong. The hypocrisy. But that's how we are. It's okay for us to do it many times. And I bet David did that. David, in his mind, it's wrong for you, but it's okay for me. Man, even David said, kill the man who stole a lamb. A lamb? Yeah, Paul's over here. David killed somebody. And David's like, oh, it's okay. You know what that is? Because we have an inclination to stray from God. Even if we're saved, until the day we go to heaven and we're completely changed in a new body, we're going to have a desire. It's the old man. You know, to debate whether it's the old man or the flesh, but we have the flesh in us still, and it wars against us. I mean, Lot did the same thing. I mean, 2 Peter tells that Lot was a righteous man. Hard to believe, but he was. But he strayed from God. The disciples. Think about the disciples. They strayed from God. Here's the thing. If you're not on guard, it will happen quicker than you think. I want to listen to this because I'm getting somewhere. Paul was astonished at how quickly they departed from God. I'm going to tell you right now, you're sitting here in church today. It could be a month from now, and you could be out of church. You could be away from God. It can happen that quick. You say, what do you mean? Are you reminded about the disciples? Let me read Matthew 26, verse 30 to 35. It shall take me a minute. It's 5 verses, but stay with me. And when they had sung hymn, they got together with a mic. They were at church, like we would be, they were singing, and they were teaching, and Jesus had taught them, and they went out from the Mount of Olives, that Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go to before you in Galilee. Peter answered him, here it is, listen. Peter answered him, though they all fall away, because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And listen, and all the disciples said the same. So all 12, well, except for Judas, all of them, they were all, yeah, we will never stray from you, God. We will never depart from the truth. And what happened? That same night, they did what they said they wouldn't do. That's how quick it happened. We are much the same way. Many times we don't heed the word of God. Like that, you know, we preach on adultery, we preach on fornication, and preachers say, you need to have standards, you don't need to be by yourself. By the way, if you're not married, you don't need to be by yourself in a house by yourself. Even my wife wasn't. You know, before we got married, I was 30 years old. I don't hear that. You say, well, that preacher's, it won't go that far. Oh, it happens all the time. I know I need to be closer to God, but I'll never get out of church. I'll never do this. It'll happen quicker than you think. Oh, you're on dangerous ground. That's what the disciples thought. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, therefore lest anyone who thinks that he stand, take heed lest he fall. I want you to understand, for you to be faithful to God, the first thing you got to realize is your inclination to stray from God. You have an inclination, you have it in you that you'll stray from God. I want you to understand that. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit for a fall. Here's what you better do to remain faithful to God. Be humble and know your inclination to stray from God. Admit that you're capable of anything and live in light of that. Let me say that again. It's key. Admit that you're capable of anything and live in light of that truth. You know the person who has that attitude? They'll go to church. The person who has that attitude will walk with God. The person who has the attitude that I'm not capable of doing anything, they'll pray. The person who has the attitude that I'm capable of doing anything, hey, they'll have standards. And that's something that's not preached on anymore in churches. They'll have standards. Standards are not always what's technically right or wrong. Standards are things that you put in your life to help you make sure that you don't stray from God, because you know that you can stray from God. The reason people have standards, they don't think, they, number one, don't care about straying from God. Number two, they don't think they will. But you will. Now, the person who had the attitude that I can stray from God, they're going to have standards. They won't play with sin. That person will be faithful. The person who doesn't realize that they have an inclination to stray from God, they think they can't fall. They skip church. They neglect reading and praying. They indulge in sinning. And you know what? They will be an unfaithful person. And it will lead that person and others to be astonished at how far they are from God. Write it down. I mean, there are people that have not been in church in a year probably. And you know why? And it started by skipping one or two services. No one ever goes, unless they get mad about something, I guess. Most believers never go from not going to church at all. I can name people who in this church who are not in church. I'm not like, you know, like regularly. I'm not talking about people who are laying out today. They've got a few, but you know. Or they may be somewhere else. And I always start with people who quit going on Sundays every now and then. And quit, they start skipping here and there. And now they're not even in church at all. Why? Because that's what happens. We see Paul's astonishment. And in that we see that we have an inclination straight from God. Letter B, let's look at Paul's advice. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. Now look at verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Here's Paul's advice. You ready? The first thing, and it'll be number one, if you want to write that down on letter B, there is only one truth. There's only one truth. There's not God's truth and Brother Howard's truth. What I mean by that, well, I got my own thing, what that was God. Well, I think the worst thing you can ever say when it comes to doing what, deciding what you should do, is, well, I think this is okay. Oh, I'm in my favor. I feel that this is right. So you're going to let your feelings decide what's right and wrong? I mean, I feel, I say this all the time, have you ever went to a restaurant and felt like eating something and when you got it, and felt like you got the wrong thing? Your feeling will lead you astray. Paul's advice here is there's only one truth. So where do you get that at? Verse 7. Which is not another. Okay, so what that referred to, go to verse 6. It says, they've called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And he said this. Then he said, which is not another. Paul is rejecting that there's more than one gospel when you use the phrase a different gospel. In the context, Paul is talking about Jesus being the only way to be saved. What he's saying here, he's saying the Judaizers are trying to teach y'all a different way to be saved. They call it another gospel. When he said then, there is no other gospel. Now, there's one interpretation. I want you to understand that. And what he's saying is that Paul's saying there's only one way to be saved. That's through Jesus Christ. But there's many applications. So how can we apply this to our life? Well, first of all, here's how we apply it. Number one, Jesus is the only way to be saved. I want you to understand that. John 14:6, and Jesus said to me, and said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want you to understand this. You can think, again, it's through Christ. And I've said it over and over, it's not a prayer. We got a lot of people who said a prayer. Well, if a prayer is what saves you, then that's a work-based salvation. We got a lot of people who are going to hell, but they think they're saved because they said a prayer. And they're not changed. They're alive. We talked about that last week. Their life has never changed. There's no fruit in their life. But they think they're saved because they said a prayer. Or I used to go to church. Or I grew up in church. Or I go here and there. Or I do good things. There's only one way to be saved, and that's faith in Jesus. I want you to understand that. But then here's the second thing. That Jesus is the only authority in this life. By the way, Jesus became flesh, right? The Word became flesh, right? That's Jesus. So right here. Here's Paul's advice. Here's how we can apply this. There's only one truth to live by. I want you to understand this. I don't care what it is in your life. I don't care what stage of life you're in. You're never smarter than the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be followed. Not our thoughts. We have these judaized, well, I think this or that. No, Paul said, no. You can't follow your thoughts. You can't follow your feelings. You can't even follow what's culturally accepted. Just because it's culturally accepted doesn't mean that it's right. To be faithful, that's what we're talking about today. To be faithful, it is paramount that you remember that God's truth is the only truth that you can have in your life. And unescapable. There's no twisting and bending in. There's no erasing. There's no shadowing. There's no ignoring. This is it. Now, are we going to be able to follow it completely? Of course not. That's why we're preaching on this today. Because we tend to stray from it. But we've got Paul's advice here. He's saying, there is no other gospel. There is no other truth. You say, Brother Will, why do I need to remember this? Because you will be tempted not to follow God. And that's the second thing under the letter B here. You see verse 7, because the Word of God is all we're really looking at today. When you not know the truth. So we say, well, basically saying there's only one truth. But why is that so important? Here it is. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay? Here's Paul's advice. He's saying you will be faced with temptation. Yeah, all know there's only one truth. Right here. I'm going to sit right there. There will be temptations to stray from the truth. There'll be some that trouble you. There'll always be somebody. Maybe it's a TV show, like Oprah, or something, a new one, or a book, or a buddy that you grew up with, whose wife thinks that it's okay for you to cheat on your wife. Oh, really? Okay. No. Well, I think it's okay to do this or that. I think it's okay to lie on your taxes. I think it's okay to say a white lie. Oh. It can be anything. Here's what they're doing. They're perverting the gospel. The word pervert means to change. It means to alter. False teachers were taking it, and they were altering what God had said. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. You ready? There will be people that tempt you to stray from the Word of God. There will be ideas that you may come up with, or the world comes up with, that tells you, I don't have to follow the Word of God. There's times when our flesh will tempt you to change the truth to what you want it to be. And when you do that, you're going to be unfaithful to God. Go ahead and fight with God. Exactly what the Galatians did here. The Galatians are a prime illustration of man's inclination to stray from God. So what do? We realize this. And we live in light of that in order to stay faithful. Number two. How do we stay faithful? Realize that you're inclined to stray from God. Secondly, number two, refuse to be indoctrinated with anything against God. We'll see that in verse 8 and 9. The first letter A here is the hypothetical situation. And that's in verse 8. The hypothetical situation. Hear me. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Letter A is the hypothetical situation. Here's the situation. Paul says, if we, talking about the apostle, he's saying, if we would preach something other than the gospel, let us be accursed. He moves on and says this, if angels from heaven were to come down and preach something other than the gospel, let them be accursed. By the way, it's a great time to take a time out. Just because your family says something's okay don't mean it's okay. If it goes against the word of God. We got a lot of people who, well, my mom and dad said it was okay. Or if it goes against the word of God, it's not okay. And Paul went so far to say, even if we, apostles, even the angel from heaven, preach something other than the word of God, then they're accursed. Here's the reality. Paul recognized that no angel or true apostle would ever proclaim such a lie. He is constructing a hypothetical situation in order to show how much he detests when people change the truth. Okay, I want you to understand that. Let me read something to you. Revelation 22. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the word of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's pretty serious, ain't Brother Mike? Paul is serious about anyone who preaches anything other than the gospel or the truth. Paul tells exactly what to do. Here's the harsh solution in verse 9. That's verse 8. We see the hypothetical situation. Now in letter B, we see the harsh solution. Look at verse 9. So we're just progressing from verse 6 to verse 9. And we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, and that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. He uses it twice, one in verse 8 and then in verse 9. The word accursed means to be given over to divine condemnation. As a general rule, think about this for a minute. Paul presents a merciful and forgiving attitude. But in this case, no mercy is possible. The heart of the gospel is at stake. It sounds harsh, but there can be no mercy to people or ideas or philosophy that pervert the truth of God. You cannot be faithful to God and entertain people and ideas and philosophy that object to God. Darkness doesn't have fellowship with light. Did anyone or anything that changes the truth, not just apostles, not just angels, but preachers, strangers, family, friends, yourself. See, we are combating the devil and using any means he can to indoctrinate us against the truth. Anything, whether it be ideals, whether it be entertainment, I'll just be honest with you. Some of y'all are going to judge me, and that's okay. It won't be the first time, and it won't be the last. And I don't really care. I only care about losing my effectiveness. But I grew up loving country music. I liked, you know, my first CD was Alan Jackson's Greatest Hits and Brooks and Dunn's Greatest Hits. I like country music. I'll tell you something else that just happened. About a month ago, I joined a gym. Been going about 4 times a week. Been walking. Well, I got iTunes, right? So what do I do? I get me some country music. And no one's bothering. I mean, college, I threw away. I had like 50 CD, country CD. I threw them away. And there's always been a struggle for me. Yeah, I mean, you may think I'm perfect. Most of y'all probably do, but I'm not. But as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking, now I'll be honest with you, I don't think every sexual soul is wrong, but this is what I do think. I think sexual soul that promotes anything that goes against the word of God is wrong. Drinking. Getting drunk. Having affairs, cussing in them, promoting a lifestyle that's not holy. We shouldn't be listening to that. We shouldn't be watching it on TV. Refuse to be indoctrinated with anything. So when I go work out, you know, and I'm listening to all that music, is that indoctrinating me with things that go against God? Yes. 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 You can't listen to one of my favorite songs, which is very blasphemous, but when I was growing up, Brooks and Dunn, Brand New Man, I saw a lot. You know, if you heard it, you'll know it's a good, catchy song. But it basically portrays that how a woman can be your savior. There's no woman or man that's going to be your savior. Only God. And indoctrinating you against the truth. And some of y'all need to do the same thing. Some of y'all need to quit watching some of the shows you're watching, too. See, I don't really struggle with shows as much like that. See, some of y'all may not struggle with music at all, and some of y'all probably struggle with TV shows. You don't be just watching Friends. Oh, I used to watch that growing up. You don't be just watching Friends. And promote sex outside of marriage like crazy. You know, watching Big Brother. You know, if you want to be faithful to God, refuse to be indoctrinated with anything against God. That's what he said. That's what Paul was saying. They're Judaizers on trying to indoctrinate you with things that go against God. A curse. We should be the same way in our lives. You'll be faithful to God. You're going to have to refuse to be indoctrinated with anything that goes against God, whether it's TV, whether it's music, whether it's family. That's what I see with Pastor Ken. Oh, you can hang out with Bubba. He's your first cousin. Well, Bubba ain't saved, and his mom and daddy ain't saved. They don't have the same value you have. Bubba's daddy probably got Playboy under his truck, under the seat of his truck. You want your kid to hang out with Bubba? Dad? No. Let's get real about this. Even family, we gotta refuse to let anything indoctrinate us against the gospel. We've got to refuse any ideas, any entertainment, any practices, any philosophy that indoctrinates you with anything against God. Hey, it can be a way, one I see a lot of time, well, that's how I was raised. Just because you were raised that way don't mean it's right. Your granddad and your great-granddad and your dad may have been wrong. And they are if you don't line up with the Word of God. Get over it. Paul's solution was for people who would change the truth to be accursed. How much more do we need to separate and not let individuals or anything indoctrinate us with anything against God? Yet many believers allow themselves to be indoctrinated with people, things, entertainment that are just straight up against God. And the result is unfaithfulness to God. Just go ahead and mark it down. And by the way, if you want to make this really practical, it's really the principle of separation. Which is not preached either, Brother Mike. Standard ain't preached, and separation's not preached. We're going to have standard, and we are to separate. Now, me and you may disagree on the degree of separation, but there's no doubt we should agree that we ought to be separated. The problem now is that there is no separation. That's what that really means. Refuse to be indoctrinated with anything against God. To stay faithful to God, first realize your inclination to stray from God. Secondly, refuse to be indoctrinated with anything against God. And thirdly and finally, remember your identity is in God. In verse 10. So we looked at verse 7, and then verse 8 and 9, now 1 and 2, now at point 3, and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? A question. Or do I seek to please them? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And you can already see where I'm going with this. Look at the last part, the servant of Christ. That's his identity. But we'll get that here in a minute. Paul is the poster child for faithfulness to God. Paul was faithful. And one reason that he was that he knew who he belonged to. He knew he belonged to God. He revealed to us in two ways. Letter A, his conduct. Paul's conduct. Verse 10, it says here, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Here's what's happening. It's a rhetorical question. And the answer is obvious. Paul has one goal in mind, to please God rather than men. Now, here's where the context is very important. Why is he saying this? Once again, the Judaizers are saying Paul is trying to please men. And Paul basically saying this. He said, am I a people pleaser? He said, is there anything in my response that I just said that I'm trying to please men? Of course not. His conduct, people knew that he belonged to God. You see that Paul's identity was in God through his conduct, but letter B, his classification. Paul classified himself. Here's the statement in verse 10. And last part, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's saying there's no way that I can please men and please God, or please men and be a servant of God. When it goes back to the principle of you can't serve two masters, okay? He said, there's no way. He said, I can't please man. I can't please myself and serve God. That's good preaching right there. You can't please man. You can't please, your parent. You can't please your kids. And you can't please all these people, grandkids and all that. And also please God. And you know what I mean by that. We can't serve them. We gotta serve God. You can't please ourselves. We'll get to that here in a minute. Paul says, I am a servant of God. Now, the word servant comes from the Greek word doulos, which means slave. Okay? You're a child of God, don't get me wrong. But it's like, we like to pass over this part. You know, we like, oh, I'm a child of God. We don't ever say we're a slave to God. Why? Because we don't like hearing that. The word slave here, and one who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another. And his will is consumed with the will of the other. So a slave, if I'm for the hired slave, I mean, I wake up every morning saying, how can I serve him? How can I make him happy? Do you want some butter on your toast? No? Okay. You want some jelly? And my will is consumed with what he wants. That's how it's supposed to be with God. That's why when I go work out, I don't hit iTunes and listen to songs that are wrong or that indoctrinate or go against God. It's not about what my ears want to hear. It's about what God wants me to do. And I got to be more concerned with pleasing him than pleasing myself. That's the only way I'm going to be faithful to God. See? Pretty simple. Paul said, I'm a slave. The reason Paul was faithful to God when he knew what he was. He knew what his identity was. He was a slave who had one goal, and that was to do what God wanted. When you grasp that concept in your relationship with God, you too will become more faithful to him. I guarantee you wake up in the morning and say, I'm a slave to God, you'll be more faithful to God in every aspect of your life. So here comes the good part. It is critical to be faithful to know who you are. Here's your redeemer. If you are saved, you are a sinner saved by God's grace and now a slave to Him. That mindset will keep you faithful to God. Many Christians forget this. There's many who think their identity is to be an outdoorsman, to be a fisherman, to be an athlete, to be a Martha Stewart, to be a grandma or a grandpa, or even to be a parent, to be a banker. When these become your identity over being a servant of God, then these things will cause you to be unfaithful to God. You say, what do you mean? Let me tell you. I wrote it down. I'm going to go fishing. I'm not going to go to church. I've got to cook a big meal. I'm not going to church. My grandkids are coming. I'm going to skip church. Bring them to church. If your grandkids come to see you on Sunday, bring them to church. You won't let your identity as a grandparent keep you from going to church? No, I don't get that one. You might be the only person that will bring them to church. Bring them to church. It'd be great. That's how we have kids here. Bring them to church. My kid is playing ball, can't go to church. I can't tithe because I've got to save money. What's happened in all these cases? They were unfaithful. And I'm in church as one example. Obviously, there's other areas. But I'm in the gnat just because it's very applicable. They forgot what their identity is. A slave to Christ. Your identity is not any of the other things. Your identity is a slave to Christ. Anytime we begin to think that we're anything other than a slave to Christ, we will become unfaithful. Want to be faithful to God? Remember your identity is God. Not hobbies, not things, not people, not titles and statuses. Remember that your identity is God. And we conclude here. Have you left your first love? Have you become unfaithful to God? Have you underestimated your flesh and strayed from God? Have you let others' teachings that go against God trick you into thinking that you can serve two masters? Or have you forgotten who you are? A slave to Christ. Here's what you do. Realize your inclination to stray from God. Oh, you've got to live in light of that. You've got to realize that you can't stray from God. Refuse. And it's a work in progress, by the way. Not because it's overnight. But you got to constantly, each and every day, refuse to be indoctrinated with anything against God. And if not, it happens really easy. And number three, remember that your identity is in God. And the piano player comes up, and they get ready to sing a song or play a song invitation. And I would ask you, if you don't mind, to stand up. You know, just for a minute, like that, and with your heads bowed and eyes closed out of respect for everyone else. You know, and they, in a minute, went to play, and God spoke to your heart, and He spoke to my heart more than one way. But I mean, He told you, I mean, hey, it's a struggle. We all can be more faithful to God. We all are probably struggling in this area. Hey, I don't know what it is in your life. But whatever it is, I want to challenge you to get it right. Apply these things in your life. Hey, it's okay if you got to put it in the mirror each day. Hey, I could stray from God today. I am a slave to God. I don't know what you need to do. But you need to do something. If you're unfaithful to God, you may need to come down here and you may need to ask God to forgive you. First of all. And then you may need to ask God to help you. That's what we all need. We need help. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God has grace and mercy. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't. I'm thankful for that. And hey, God will give it to you today again. But we need to strive to be faithful to God.